Okay, who's ready for Christmas? There's a lot of hands not up, I noticed, okay? It's okay, you've still got a couple days yet. And we practice regularly that experience of not doing guilt when you're not ready anyhow. So, good news on that one. Have you noticed how every Christmas there's kind of something different that you're learning and discovering about, you know, just because of the difference of experience in our life and that we're growing and unfolding? I got a new understanding just the other day. I was with our three-year-old granddaughter, and we were looking at the nativity scene that we have in our house. Now, we got it when we lived in Montana. It was done by Montana wood carvers, and the wise men show up as ranchers and oilmen, and then with the shepherds are Native Americans, and the creatures from the forest. So it's a little different. And so we were looking at the warm coats they had on. Of course, it is a Montana scene, but Kira was explaining to me that they had to stay warm because baby Jesus was born at the North Pole. So, there's something new every year, you know, you just can't put it in a box. But there really is this growth that happens in us. Think back when you were a child, that beginning experience that Christmas was. Santa Claus. Now, up to that point, it was your parents that were the source of everything. They were your care. They took care of your needs. And then suddenly there's this something that's greater, something that's out there beyond your parents that responds to you and wants to know what you want for Christmas. And that something takes care of everybody. Wow, what a beautiful beginning God thought. A way of beginning to conceptualize that there's something greater than ourselves. And as children touch that and work with that, often think that part of that is the beginning of their consciousness of prayer. That understanding that they can reach out and there is that responding to them. This is a letter that was found in the post office. It had been addressed to Santa at the North Pole. And it reads, "Dear Santa, I hope you get my letter. I'm 11 years old and I have two little brothers and a baby sister. My father died last year and my mother is sick. I know there are many who are poorer than we are, and I want nothing for myself. But could you send us a blanket? Because mommy's cold at night." It was signed, Susie. Isn't that prayer? That sense that there is something that responds. So I think of how as we grow, then the young person begins to grow and look at Santa Claus and discover that the form isn't what we thought it was. But the experience remains. Have you ever had that with your own God thought, your own way of looking at God? Maybe that kind of changes in what you thought it was, but that experience that we grow in continues. And then, wow, we get the experience of being a parent. And suddenly, Santa has a new reality. Wow, it's in us and through us. We are its expression. What a magnificent way to perceive of this divine presence. And then when we think we've got it all figured, there was someone who shared in one of our classes in the last couple weeks. And she told of a time when she had just moved to a new city. No one knew her. She had it in her apartment, single mother, couple kids, and no money. There wasn't any money for Christmas. And there really wasn't enough for food. And there wasn't anything that could happen because no one even knew she was there, even knew of her situation. But there was a knock on the door, and she went and answered it, and there was a box with food and toys and clothes. There are times when we begin to discover that even when we are alone, we're still loved. And how beautiful that it gets occasionally, sometimes, to happen through our hands. And then what happens as the form changes? We begin to discover that we are regularly looking at and experiencing and working with something that is really deeper than all the forms, aren't we? There's something there. There's a time when that relationship to the story, for some people, that creates a beautiful connection with Jesus, with that baby. And for some people, then that becomes a very supportive and personal thing, and that is tremendously beautiful as that happens. For others, it opens to discover the depth of wisdom and the power and the demonstration of the greater consciousness that's there. And yet for others, that's not their path. That's not what speaks to them. And yet there is a beauty there that touches us all. The awakening that happens through Christmas is captured not in the gospel story that we're used to. I think it's found in that other gospel, the one we never read at Christmas because it's too confusing. It's called the Gospel of John, and John is called the mystical gospel because basically nothing in there was ever intended to be literal or real. It's symbolic. The whole nature of it is trying to describe a spiritual experience. And so the experience that often connects into the Christmas story is shared this way. In the beginning was the Word. In Him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made by Him, the world did not recognize Him. He came to that which was His own, but His own did not receive Him. Yet to all who did receive Him, to those who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. Children not born of natural descent, but born of God. Now, again, this is not literal. It's a set of symbols talking about something that we experience. So let me share it as I understand it. In the beginning was the Word. So this divine creative force and intelligence from which all comes. In Him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. So this divine presence is the light, the very life within every person. Now what we're talking about here is not Jesus. We're talking about what The Christianity term is the Christ pattern within each person. This potential of spiritual wholeness and power that Jesus, when he came, demonstrated. It is the Atman within the Hindu tradition. It is the Buddha mind. It is the I Am. This gives light to everyone. This spiritual pattern, this soul that you are, is literally the life within your being. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. Now we're not talking about physical stuff. We're talking about awareness. This is an experience of greater light, greater illumination, greater understanding. So even though this is a divine creation, this third dimensional experience that we're in, it does not have the capability of awareness of the divine. That is a higher dimensional experience within us. He came to that which was his own, this third dimensional consciousness, but his own did not receive him. It's not in the capacity of the third dimensional self to truly perceive the divine. The brain is not the instrument through which we awaken to the divine. The heart is, isn't it? Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Now, believe in his name. Belief is not, I think so, or I'm convinced. When we believe something, we embody it, we embrace it, we express it. It's that which we perceive as reality. That's what we really believe. So that which we express in his name. Now his name doesn't mean what somebody's called. Even to the people who wrote this, it never did. That whole culture didn't go by that as what name meant. They all understood. Name is the nature of someone. It is the nature of being. So those that expressed that nature of the divine awoke to realize they were children of God. Now, what's the nature of the divine? Well, that's what Jesus showed us, this amazing love. It's one of the reasons why this connects back into the consciousness that he brought. So those that expressed this love that is the true nature of our being awaken to recognize they are spiritual beings, children of God. Expressing that love. So that's my excuse to get to tell you my favorite Christmas story. Okay, now I've very carefully waited. I try not to repeat things, so I've waited for 7 years to come back. I looked up the date in the book, so it was okay. So I can come back, get to share this with you again, because I love it. There's this man whose name is Jay Frankston. Now, Jay was a Jewish boy, and so his family didn't get to participate in Christmas. Now, this is very frustrating to Jake because here was this beautiful lights on the trees and kids getting all ready for Santa Claus, and that wasn't okay in his family. And then he grew up. And he said, it's my house. Now I get to do it my way. So his family had a beautiful Christmas tree. And they put a Star of David at the top for when people came over so they could call it a Hanukkah bush. Okay, but basically it was a Christmas tree and Santa Claus. And he so loved the idea of Santa Claus that you know, he couldn't just do one of these beard things. He went out to a professional mask maker and have him make a Santa Claus mask and tailor a Santa Claus so that he could come and play Santa Claus to his children and to his family. And then Jay was walking down the street, and I believe this is New York, and he saw a little girl trying to put a letter in the mailbox. So her mom came over and lifted her up so she could put her letter in, and he heard them talking, and it was her letter to Santa that she'd written to him at the North Pole. So Jay went, I wonder where those letters go. So I went to the post office, and they showed him the room where these letters to Santa at the North Pole end up getting stashed. And so he started going through them. He was the one that found that letter from Susie. And in that first experience of going through those letters, now he said there were lots that were just Christmas lists and gimme, gimme, and that wasn't what Santa was looking for. It was Susie's letter. And he found a number of those. And so he took them and he ran out to Western Union and he sent them a telegram saying, "Dear Susie, I got your letter. I'll be there Christmas Day. Wait for me, Santa." Okay, so now he went and he got presents. And Christmas Day, his wife driving the car, he's too big to sit behind the wheel comfortably. Okay, he gets up to the house and he goes in and brings not only the blanket, but toys and joy and care and hope to that family and to eight other families. And the next year, it was 20. The next one, it was 120. And he did this for 12 years. He would start Christmas Eve, going to house after house after house with his toys coming in as Santa Claus. Now, in the ones that he picked, many of these, there was just the poverty level was such there was nothing. The children wouldn't get anything. And yet they'd written to Santa, and he was able to be Santa. And to some, it wasn't about poverty. It was the child that was hopeless, alone, afraid, that he responded to. One of the ones that seemed to be his favorite experience, I think, was he'd come to a family that was up in a tenement apartment, and there were several kids, and so he'd been with them and shared the toys and told them about love and Christmas, and there's this little girl who's kind of holding back. And so he calls her over and he says, "What's your name?" She says, "Lisa." And he said to her, "You're not part of this family, are you?" She says, "No." He says, "I have a dolly. Can I give this dolly to you?" She said, "No." And she leaned into his ear and she said to him, "I'm Jewish." And he looked at her and said, "So am I." Expressing the love. That's what it's about, not about religion. Now, there are beautiful things within any religion that help us to connect and relate in beautiful ways. But it is about what we express. And for Jay, he could express that to children at Christmas time. Do you think he was aware that he was a child of God? I know he was aware those children were. Right. It's not difficult because it's what we really are. Your being is pure love. That's who you really are. That's who you were before you ever entered into this third dimensional experience. The magnificent soul that came here to express who you are in this dimension, in this experience. And it's so simple to do. Just give the love. And that's what Christmas is. It's just an invitation. It's an excuse. If you don't like religion, do it with Santa Claus. Okay. If you're Jewish, put a Star of David on your tree. Doesn't matter. We all have this opportunity to give this love, which is what awakens us to know who we really are. So I invite you just to make that commitment. We're in this Christmas week, this beautiful time when the whole world conspires to invite us into love. Hey, I give love this Christmas. I give love this Christmas. Join me.
I give love this Christmas.
Again.
I give love this Christmas. I give love this Christmas.
What a beautiful, beautiful way to create that greater awareness. To discover that, yeah, we are children of God. And we can do it through the presence. Okay? Go for the commercialization. Okay, it's a divine setup. Okay, you know, remember the night before Christmas? Click, 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 the reindeer on the roof? Well, I've discovered it's me clicking on Amazon.com. Okay, go for it. It's not about the stuff, but what we send with it. Take every excuse. You know, give the stuff, give the smile, give the hug, give the money, give the care. Give the affirmation. Give the peace. Give love this Christmas. And the wonderful, wonderful thing is, I know you will. And that blesses everyone. Thank you.